Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. I'm David Haynes, and I'm joined by Thomas Majors. Thomas, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you remember community stores?
Yes. I mean, every community used to have a little store. And where I live outside of Nettleton with my parent, it's called the Sandy Flats kind of area of Nettleton, that area of Lee County. And there was about a block away was a little store called Merriman's.
Mm-hmm.
Merriman's. So Merriman. There was a person's last name. The owner of the store was John Merriman and his family. And so we used to go over there all the time. I actually caught the bus there. There were times where my mom would take me to Merriman's store, and then the bus would come by and pick up, like, you know, a gaggle of kids from the Merriman's store, and then they would drop us back off at the Merriman's store.
Oh, so it was within walking distance of your house, or at least bicycle riding distance?
It was definitely bicycle riding distance because I rode my bicycle there all the time. I would say it's probably, a quarter to a half mile probably from my house.
Yeah.
But some really good memories, you know, of going to that store and going in and buying chocolate. You know, of course, I'm a 1982 version.
Yeah, I'm a 1980 model. Yep.
That's right. And so back in the day, I can remember getting on my Huffy bicycle.
I forgot about that. Huffy bicycles. All right, did you have a multiple speed, like a 10-speed Huffy bike or something
like
that?
Well, no, this one wasn't. This one wasn't multiple speed, but I do remember when I first got it, it had like a mud flap on it, and then it had these mud wings on it. I mean, it was designed for off-road mud riding.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice Huffy bicycle. And I can remember being at my house and my mom running out of cigarettes and she'd say, "Hey, hop on that bicycle over there and go to Merriman's and buy me some cigarettes." And so here I am, you know, 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, something like that. Hop on my Huffy bicycle. And I had two ways to go. I could either go out of the driveway and go to the left or go to the right. One way had a dog. One way had a big heel.
Yeah.
And so I always made that choice when I got to the end of the driveway. Do I want to deal with the dog or do I want to deal with the heel? But I can remember walking in there, John Merriman's store, and walking up to the counter and saying, thinking about it the whole time, are they going to sell me these cigarettes or not? And so you kind of word it the right way.
Uh-huh.
Hey, my mom sent me and she wants some of those Dorel Light 100s, okay?
So you would ride your Huffy to get your mama some puffies, huh?
Yes, I sure would. First time I ever stole anything, I stole it from Merriman's store.
Was it a girl's heart? You stole a girl's heart at the Merriman's store?
It was not. It was the little chocolate footballs.
Yeah, I remember those. Yes.
And so we went into the store and my mom, I was like, "Hey, buy me some of these." And she said, "No, I'm not." You know, she didn't want me to get all hyped up on the sugar and the chocolate
and the cigarettes.
And the cigarettes. And so got back home and, you know, here I am. I'm sitting there.
Uh-huh.
Unwrapping these chocolate footballs, eating them. She said, "Where'd you get those from?"
Uh-huh.
I said, "Oh, you know, I just had them." She was like, "Where'd you get those from?" And I was like, "The store."
Uh-huh.
Ooh, she tore my tail up. I got a spanking for stealing those chocolate footballs.
Yeah.
And then I had to go back to the store.
Uh-huh.
And I had to tell, you know, the Merriman's, "Hey, I'm sorry, I've stolen these chocolate footballs."
Yeah.
And of course, to make matters worse, they were like, "Oh, don't worry about it. You know, they're only about 10 cents. And I'm like, "Listen, I've already got a spanking for this. Here, sir, please take this money and please accept my apology." But yes, country store, Merriman's Country Store. Love that place.
Yeah. So
fond memories.
Yeah, fond memories. So I have a couple of memories of country stores. One of them, so I grew up in Gift Bottom up in Alcorn County, attended Shiloh Baptist Church when I was growing up. And the way that we would go from Gift Bottom, where I grew up, to Shiloh Baptist was in the backwoods of, not really the Suitor's Cross, but we would go to the backwoods of Martin's Cross. And And close to Martin's Crossing, just north of Martin's Crossing, at a little four-way stop now, there used to be an old, old store. Like whenever I was a kid, it was already, I believe it was already closed down. Now the building's already gone. But whenever I think of a community store, I think of the four-way stop at Kossuth. Anybody who knows me knows that I graduated from Kossuth High School. And so much of my upbringing was around Kossuth events. But way back when, there used to be two, really there were three gas stations. The Aggie Mart is now still there where another gas station previously was, but kind of across the four-way stop, not where J.R. Esri's gas station was down Highway 2, but across the four-way stop, there's now like a cheerleading academy there or something like that, a little, you know where that's at. But there used to be an old gas station there, and that's what I think of. I think they had ice cream, or they would dip your ice cream for you. They had those atomic red hot, fire hot things. They had the Jolly Ranchers. And dude, Jolly Ranchers. Well, first, that was before I had any cavities that had been filled. But dude, did you do it with Jolly Ranchers? You would put a Jolly Rancher in your mouth and you would bite down and you would think, oh, this is it. My teeth will never come unstuck again. I'm trapped for the rest of my life. Yes. And I think they used to, instead of wiring people's jaws shut, they would just give them Jolly Ranchers and it would clench them for about 6 weeks. So.
And then it would cut your teeth because your little teeth marks were left in the Jolly Rancher. And so,
your jaw and your roof of your mouth. And yes. I forgot about that. So, what was your favorite flavor, Jolly Rancher?
Probably cherry.
Same here.
Later in life, I really like green apple.
Oh, it was kind of sour. I forgot about that. Yeah. I forgot about that. Man, those are good times. So we both have some experiences of community stores. But Thomas, our podcast listeners don't tune in to just hear us talk about where we grew up. They tune in for somewhat of a theological conversation.
Right. And let me just say this. Merriman's store is closed.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
What about that? There's a cheerleading place there now.
It's closed.
And Kossuth had how many gas stations at one time? You said three?
Oh, absolutely.
At least three in that little area.
That's right.
Aggie Mart.
That's right. They have closed. So, Thomas, here's today's question. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Has the community church gone the way of the community store?
I say yes, and many are still going the way of the community store.
Yeah.
I think we would agree that many of the little communities, Gift Bottom, Nettleton, out in the sandy flats of Nettleton, the other side of Nettleton, there were all of these little community shops, these little community stores where you could run in and get some gas, buy you a pack of Dorel Live 100s, go in and get you some Jolly Ranchers and some chocolate footballs and double bubble.
I forgot about double bubble.
Get you some double bubble. But now, you've got to go quite a few miles. Mm-hmm. There might be one every 10 to 15 miles now. There might be just one in the community or one in the town, and many of the community type places have stopped, has gone out. So I say yes, and I think many churches are going that way even now.
Yes, I think that you are spot on about that.
In my time at Nettleton, one of the first churches that I ever heard about closing was really a shock to me. It's in Nettleton, or it was in Nettleton, and I was probably 10 or 11, 12 maybe. I don't know. I was not driving yet when it closed, because I remember being with my grandmother. Her name was Nanny Ruth Presley. I was with my grandmother. That was her real name, Nanny.
Nanny Ruth. Nanny is not an acronym for grandma or no.
Exactly,
or, no,
right. Her name was Nanny Ruth. Yeah. And so Nanny Ruth Presley, I was with her, and we were going down Eureka Road in Nettleton. And there used to be a church right in the curve, big curve of Eureka Road, that was called Eureka Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And one day we were driving by there, and I was with her, and I looked, and I could tell, it was kind of grown up. Mm-hmm. It didn't look right. And I said, "What's going on with that church?" She said, "Oh, they closed their doors. Mm-hmm. They're not meeting anymore. They're no longer there."
Yeah.
And eventually the sign went away. It began to fade. It kind of fell down. I think some people tried to establish a church in it again at some point. It just never took off. But that was one of the first experiences I had with a church closing and really going the way of a community kind of store was Eureka Baptist Church on Eureka Road in Nettleton.
Yeah, man, that is really interesting. You know, Thomas, and whenever a country store, whenever a country church closes in a similar way, what you just mentioned, a country store closing. But when a country church closes, a community church closes, we hope that those members, those believers, those people, those families, we hope that they assimilate into other churches. We hope they go down the road to another church or go to the neighboring city, you know, and that they assimilate and they plug in and they serve faithfully somewhere else. And so what I think that we've seen in times past and what I think we're going to see a whole lot more of is church consolidation. Yes, what you said is right. Whenever I ask you the question, has the community church gone the way of the community store? You said yes. And it will continue to go that way. And I think that we're going to see more church consolidation. If you'll think back way back when, there were schools that consolidated. For me, in Alcorn County, Alcorn County did not have a consolidation, but next door did, Tishomingo County. Tishomingo County High School consolidated probably in the early to mid-1990s, and I remember it being a big deal. I think it led to a lot of smaller 1A and 2A schools. Now, the first church I pastored was in Marietta, Mississippi. Marietta has a K through 8 school and dumps into Newside High School, but these are both small schools, and I think it led to a lot of reinvigoration. Like, I think the Newside Royals went out and built a very fine basketball gym, fine gymnasium. And what I heard is they spent a lot of money.
Let me just say, it's pretty mediocre to Ingemar's gym, considering that we would be rivals of Newside. And just go ahead now.
Okay. Yeah, now you're clear now. You're clear. You made your statement. All right. So I heard that they built that, spent a lot of money to, quote, keep consolidation from happening, and that they wanted to bolster that community and bolster that idea. What I see, if a church sees that they may be heading toward closing the doors, it should reinvigorate the population of that church, the population of that community. Let's be about the things of the Lord, and let's not let this church close.
These are long-time patterns that we're seeing, right?
Yeah, they are.
Because when you said the consolidation of schools, every little community used to have a school.
Yep.
At Holly, when I was pastor of Holly, Holly had a school. Mm-hmm. It was called Holly School.
Yeah.
And you'd say, well, that's Winnesoga. No, technically, Winnesoga was down the road a little bit. Uh-huh. And it had it had its own little school, Winnesoga School. But then Holly had its own little school. I bet there was one in Gift.
Gift at my dad went K or first through eighth at Gift, and then Gift dumped into Kossuth. Yeah.
Last year, now this is February of 2026 while we're recording this. Last year, we had some storms come through Ingemar, and one of my church members here at Ingemar said, you know, we knew exactly where this storm was going to hit because of WTVA, Matt Lofbon. Mm-hmm. They use old school names.
That's right.
As markers. And they said that when Matt Lofbon said Lone Star School, Lone Star School has been closed since like 1950s or 60s or something. But everybody who knew where Lone Star School used to be knew exactly what he was talking about.
So Thomas, right now you live. So by the way, Thomas personally lives very close to where I one time pastored. Many years ago, I pastored very close to where you live. You live in the Gevel community.
Yes.
And if you ever look at Matt Lofbon, whenever he's talking about where storms coming through, if they ever say Gevel, buddy, you better hit the storm shelter. Let me tell you. That's it. And the old Gevel, there used to be, may still be standing, the old Gevel Mercantile is right there on the side of Highway 30.
It is still standing. My neighbor owns that. James Bullock owns that store. And he uses it for storage and for other things. It's got a bee nest in it.
A beehive
currently in the walls of it. But yes, it is still standing.
Yeah.
And these little communities had their own little stores. They had their own schools. Mm-hmm. But over the years, we've seen the schools go away first.
That's right.
And then we see the
stores go
away. But are people not being educated anymore?
No, people are still being educated.
Are they not buying Dorel Light 100s anymore?
People are still buying Dorel Lights. Yeah.
People are still buying food and other things. Yep. They're just driving further to those locations.
That's it.
To go. I remember when Merriman closed and we used to be able to hop over there and get some gas or something and grab a few things and then go on to the big town of Nettleton.
Yeah.
But then when Merriman closed, we had to make the trip to Mighty Mart. We had to go to the Mighty Mart. Yeah. Or it used to be called Little David.
Yeah.
We had to go to Little David's in Nettleton to get the gas, get the drink or the candy or something for that day. We didn't stop doing it.
No.
Just made a little bit further drive.
Went somewhere else. So earlier, whenever I mentioned church consolidation, right now, I've been pastoring for almost 2 years in the northwest part of Mississippi, and I live in Tate County. Tate County is very similar to previous counties I lived in, Itawamba, Prentice, Alcorn, very similar. Dude, the next county north is DeSoto County. DeSoto County, blowing, going, booming. And I think in DeSoto County, it is easier to consolidate a church because of the amount of people that you might be able to reach. And what I think we see is larger churches are sometimes stronger. There's a friend of ours, Kenny Digby, who said this. This was probably 10 years ago. Kenny told me this and hung around in my brain. We were talking about growing churches and how to get more people in Sunday school. And he said this, there are some things a church will not be able to do until they reach 300 in Sunday school. So Kenny said there is a benchmark. And once a church is at or above 300 in Sunday school, there are certain things they can do that if you're only at 150 or 200, you just can't. But if you're north of 300 in Sunday school, and so there are some churches, maybe 2, 3, 4 churches that might consolidate, and they might come together where they were 2, 3, or 4 smaller, weaker churches. They can come together as a 300 in Sunday school church, and they got to put their pride beside. Yep. They've got to put their name brand beside. They can come together as whatever community Baptist church, and they can be a strong church who can really have an impactful presence in that area. Thomas, you mentioned something earlier that I think plays a huge role in what we're discussing. You mentioned once the Merriman's closed down, y'all drove down the road to somewhere else. Thomas, I'm going to tell you why I think community churches are going the way of the community store. It's because of the reliability of automobiles and the easy travel that we have now. Dude, it doesn't take long at all to cover 15 miles. Where way back when, 75 years ago, 100 years ago, 15 miles was a long trip. We don't even think about it now.
I remember being a teenager, and many of the people around Nettleton, they worked in and around Nettleton. It was pretty rare that you would hear about somebody going to Tupelo or to Amory or Aberdeen or West Point or something like that to work. And now people commonly work 20, 30 miles away from their homes. They're willing to make that drive every day consistently to live where they want to live, but then to work. Same is true when it comes to grocery shopping. I can remember when we lived at Tipplersville, there was a community, Walnut, and they had a grocery store. It's called ShopEasy. Mm-hmm. And there were times where we needed the convenience of going to ShopEasy. Mm-hmm. And we would hop down to ShopEasy and grab some bread or something like that. But we would commonly drive from Tipplersville all the way to Corinth, Mississippi, and drive through all of those red lights to get to the other side of Corinth to go to Walmart, because Walmart had more options, better options, mm-hmm. cheaper options.
Prices.
Cheaper prices than ShopEasy did. Even though ShopEasy was there and it was convenient, it was better to drive and go somewhere else.
Yeah. Thomas, in thinking of that idea, it reminds me of something years ago. Whenever I was I grew up in Corinth, Mississippi, the outskirts of Corinth, Gift Bottom. Grew up in the outskirts of Corinth. And now I've not lived in Corinth for over 20 years, but probably 20 years ago, there was a sign heading south on Highway 45, leaving Corinth, Mississippi. For those of you who aren't geographically familiar with Northeast Mississippi, let me paint the picture. Heading south on Highway 45 out of Corinth, Mississippi, you're going to go through Biggersville and then Boonville and then Baldwin, Saltillo, and then you're going to make it to Tupelo. Now, if you're from Corinth, Mississippi, you have a few options. If you want to go to a big town, yeah, you can go to Jackson, Tennessee. Yeah, you can go to Florence, Alabama. But just about everybody, if you're going to go shopping, have a good time on a Saturday evening, go eat somewhere nice, Tupelo, Mississippi. This is what the billboard said just as you started to leave Corinth. Shop Corinth first. And this is what they were saying. Quit spending all your money in Tupelo. Don't forget about Corinth. Buy your shoes here. Buy your groceries here. We got steakhouses here. Quit going to Tupelo and giving Lee County and Tupelo, Mississippi, all of those tax dollars. Spend, shop Corinth first. Sometimes in churches, we will lose members to the big city churches. Sorry, now, I no longer pastor in Fulton, Mississippi. I can say this without offending anybody. In Fulton, Mississippi, I was there for 8.5 years. We commonly lost really good people to the big churches in Tupelo. And I'm just going to be honest. The big churches in Tupelo were 3, 4, 5 times larger than us. The big churches in Tupelo had top-notch everything. And the big churches in Tupelo, as soon as the amen is said on Sunday morning, you got 100 restaurants
yep.
within a 3-minute drive of almost any church in Tupelo. And so I noticed that 20 to 25 minute drive, people started often going to Tupelo. They would worship at a church in Tupelo. They would hang out Sunday evenings in Tupelo. And the churches in Itawamba County often were overlooked. Thomas, what should a person do if, as we've been describing community stores and community churches, if a person who listens to this broadcast thinks, well, I serve the Lord at a community church, what does this mean for us? Is there a future for community churches?
Yes, there is definitely a future for community churches. Community churches have to remember that they're part of the community. They need to be a vital part of the community. You've already said it before, Kenny Digby has greatly influenced both of us. Yeah. And I remember when I was pastoring in Alcorn County, one day I was talking to Dr. Digby, and we were talking about, you know, churches and the Woodmen of America. Mm-hmm. You remember Woodmen yeah. of America? I mean, they have a really strong branch there in Alcorn County. And they're always doing things. I mean, like they're taking donuts to the teachers. They're taking gift bags to the hospital. They're doing all kinds of things. They're helping businesses. They're just doing all kinds of community things. And Dr. Digby said one day, Woodmen of America is being more of the church than the church.
Isn't that something? Yep.
And I think, I mean, he was spot on. I mean, he said it almost in a throwaway kind of statement, but it's been one that's resonated with me since he said it. And I think that's true. The community church needs to remember they're in a community and they need to serve that community. If they are going to be there, they're going to be the one who can be there first when someone passes away.
I completely agree.
They can be there when someone announces that they're having a child.
Yes.
They can be there and part of that relationship. They can minister to the community in a way that a big church that is 30 miles down the road, they're just not going to do it. They
Absolutely.
Have their own community
Absolutely.
To minister to.
Absolutely. There is a pastor friend of ours. I'll share with you his name after we end this podcast. But he pastors in an area that is about an hour and a half away from a mega church, metro setting, huge. The mega church in the metro setting, two pastors back, super famous, super well known. I used to watch this mega church pastor on TV on Sunday mornings, and he would often say, our church is a easy Sunday drive from anywhere in the South. And basically, come see us. Well, this pastor friend of both of ours, who pastors a local church about an hour and a half from this city, lost a family to this mega church. Similar to what we've been saying about Tupelo, Mississippi, this family started driving an hour and a half, and they may still drive an hour and a half every Sunday, then they only participate in Sunday services. And this local pastor said, "What burns me up about that family going to that mega church in that metro area is that church won't minister to them. You just wait until a funeral happens." He said, "You know who will be asked to do the funeral?" He said, "It'll be me." He said, "It won't be mega church pastor on TV." He said, "You know who will go over there and visit with them whenever they're sick and in the hospital in our area?" He said, "It'll be me." He said, "It'll be people from our church." He said, "It won't be mega church leadership, mega church deacons." He said, "It'll be us." And he said, "But they, big church, mega church, is getting the benefit of the people, the tithe, the offering, instead of that community." So yeah, I think community churches have a future. And Thomas, I think there's a new community store. It's not called that. But do you know what the new community store is?
Amazon.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about it like that. No, I was going to say Dollar General. General in my idea. So here's the way I think about it.
We call that the Ingemar Mall.
The Ingemar Mall. That is hilarious. So there were mom and pop stores that were put out of business by Walmart. And now, in my opinion, or at least previous to Amazon, hadn't thought all of this through. Who is making the biggest dent in Walmart? I think it's DG. I think the Dollar General is the bomb and pop brand in every wide place in the road. But now you're probably right about Amazon. Amazon will probably put a hurting on the Walmart.
I remember the reason I said Amazon is because I was trying to figure out where you were fixing to go with that.
Yeah.
And immediately I just thought back to when I was a pastor of Tipplersville. I had a church member who I tried to minister to, and just this person would just not ever come to church. And I would always like ask, you know, why? Well, I get, you know, I'm listening to David Jeremiah. I'm listening to Adrian Rogers. I'm listening to so-and-so. And the streaming platforms, TV evangelists have kind of taken over this, the area of pastors and churches in some people's lives. That's the reason I thought you might be going
much
with.
Like Amazon. Yep. I hadn't even thought about that, but you are exactly right. So yeah, Thomas, we've been able to have some fun today and think back to those country stores and all that good stuff. It was a good time. The country mom and pop store was a good time in American history. And I think we're to be reminded, God is always working. God used community churches. God still uses community churches. And 100 years from now, the Lord will still be working.
And just to say something really quick, as maybe even encouraging, if you're driving down Highway 45 and you get to right after Biggersville, after you go top Biggersville Hill and you go down to that valley down there and you take a left and you're driving to Kossuth out in the middle of nowhere, you come across something that's pretty remarkable out there, don't you?
You sure do. There is a community church called Willow Grove Baptist Church.
And if you were in Itawamba County and you were driving out in the middle of nowhere in Dorsey, Mississippi, there's a church out there, too, that's...
There sure is.
Bethel Baptist Church.
Bethel Baptist, blowing and going.
And if you were driving in the middle of Pontotoc, out in nowhere land in Pontotoc, there's another church out there, too, right?
Yeah.
What's that? Green Valley Baptist Church.
That's right.
And, I mean, so even though we can say, you know, we're seeing some community churches disappear, just like we did the community schools and the community stores, there are some whom God is blessing and God is using.
Absolutely.
And He is drawing people to. That's the way it's been.
Yeah.
And we can be assured that's the way it's going to continue to happen.
That's right.
We just got to be faithful to the Lord. Hey, preach the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Minister to the people.
Yep.
Minister to the community.
Yeah.
keep your eyes and your focus on Jesus and the cross instead of on things that please man.
Yeah. Man, I think you're right about it, Thomas. Rick, we're going to those Huffy bicycles, man.
Yeah,
let's go find us a community store and some Doral cigarettes. What do you think, bud?
if I hopped on a Huffy bicycle right now, I'd be huffing and puffing before too long.
You're right about that. Well, guys, thank y'all so much for tuning in this week. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please join us again next time.